Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Support for Almost Entirely Sports is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. And Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Here's what we can do for you. We have an exclusive offer for listeners to Almost Entirely Sports. It's 20% off plus free shipping with the code ALMOST on any order at manscaped.com. That's an incredible deal for an incredible product. Listen, over the course of our future, maybe we'll get into more or less detail whenever talking about our experience with Manscaped, but I can tell you firsthand, they hooked us up. They sent out a box for me and Beards and Rudy, and apparently Beards this whole time was a Manscaped user and never told us, which has just really brought on more questions than answers at this point. But I have now used the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, and everything in their Perfect Package 3.0 is absolutely unbelievable. Everything the ads say have been 100% true. It truly is a best-in-class grooming experience. Plus, if you do go get their Perfect Package, they'll also give you a pair of high-performance Manscaped boxer briefs that are incredible and will keep everything feeling fresh all day long, and a travel shed bag to put all your grooming goodies inside of. Also, the bag is incredible. I promise you, this is something that all of us were so excited to get and have been so impressed by whenever we did the unboxing on the show, whenever it got here to the station. Everybody at Manscaped has been great. The product is impeccable, and I'm really, really excited about being able to bring you a deal for 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. You can support the show and get a great product from Manscaped, really supporting yourself, if you know what I mean. There's a lot of double entendres throughout this read. I don't know if you caught that or not. You can get 20% off and free shipping with the code ALMOST at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code ALMOST. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
You talked to me about Chili's, and I'm going to see if I can confirm something that I'm pretty sure is true about the Nationals World Series ring.
Okay, well, so here's my thing on Chili's.
With Joshua Briscoe.
It's garbage.
On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We're now joined by the world's biggest Gerard Dyson hater, David Leske. You can support his work if you're also a hater at insidethecrown.substack.com. You can follow him on Twitter at dbleske. Leske, honestly, I thought about just canceling your appearance this week because of how much of a hater you are about Gerard Dyson and the fact that that's what speed do, and you just clearly don't know anything about baseball.
Well, you know, I actually was sitting at Chili's eating my baby back rib while I was criticizing Gerard Dyson. It was a terrible moment for me, really.
Yeah.
Probably I think that's rock bottom right there. So,
probably.
Wait, the Chili's or the Gerard Dyson?
Yeah, fair. Well, you know what? We're gonna push back from the microphone. You can provide the proper context and defend yourself. You get 30 seconds.
All I'm saying yesterday is that Gerard Dyson is not as fast as Michael A. Taylor. All right, doesn't mean he's not as good. He's a better base stealer. I was wrong. All right, I made a mistake.
You still got like
18 seconds left.
I don't need it. I don't need it because that's how much confidence I have in myself.
Tell me about Robert Moore.
What?
That's Dane Moore's son.
Not changing topics.
That guy's actually good. I'm surprised. Like not. I guess that's offensive to Robert Moore, but. I'm surprised. He's good. I like him. Maybe the Royals should draft him next year.
Are there any? I mean, we've seen a number of like kids of former great athletes. We've seen Vlad Jr. on the mm-hmm. football side. There are like three corners, sons of former NFL corners in this year's draft. Yeah. What about sons of GMs? I feel like that's an untapped market at this point.
I was just gonna say that's the exact phrase I was gonna use. I feel like we need to get more children of general managers. I'm really interested in the like 70-year-old GMs who have 40-year-old children.
Ooh, interesting.
Because, look, the thing is, you're always talking about you want the market inefficiency, right? You want what other teams aren't signing. Nobody's signing 40-year-olds who have never played professionally.
That's an untapped market.
I think, yeah, look, I don't know if it'll work, but I don't know that it won't work.
I saw the rookie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great point.
Right.
Great point, Beards.
I mean, they should be scouring science teachers in Texas. They really, I mean, just go to every high school and say, hey, throw this ball. Here is a police put up speed tracker.
Yeah.
And I want to see what you can do. And if it's over 80, I think you sign him.
I saw that movie pretty young, right? And I think mm-hmm. even then I knew it was absolute garbage bull bleep that you could throw a baseball past the thing meant to get the speed of cars and get an accurate reading. There's no chance that works, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know. Michael Scott ran 31 miles per hour.
That's exactly what I was thinking, too.
I mean, at some point, you gotta believe it, okay?
Numbers don't lie.
Yeah, that's fair enough, I guess. This show's getting really close to just only needing one of us to be here at any given time because we're all thinking the same exact thing.
Yeah.
I feel like we're nearly reaching a singularity.
If Robert Moore is drafted by the Royals, he has to change his name to Bobby, right?
We have two Bobbies. Oh, wow.
Also, Robert Moore sounds like a 40-year-old son of a GM.
I guess he kind of fits both of those.
No, that's not true. He sounds like a GM of a car dealership. That's
a good point.
Like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the best Robert in sports? Maybe ever. Maybe right now. Beards, don't say Robert Horry. You're an NBA nerd. You can't have that one.
I was going to say that. Oh, can I say that?
Wow. Yes. Go ahead, Lesky. Who do you think the answer is?
That's the first thing that pops in my head was Robert Horry.
Wow. That's what I was going to say. We really are all on the same page here.
Clearly.
Rudy is doing some Googling. Beard's about to do some Googling.
I typed in best athletes named Robert, and the first thing that popped up was Bo Jackson. I was like, huh, that doesn't seem right.
Is Bo short for Robert?
Oh, bleep. I don't think so.
Oh, Robert Parrish.
No, that doesn't count.
Disagree. It does have to be Robert, though, and not Bob or Rob or Bo.
Bo is Vincent Edward Bo Jackson.
Well, that's not Robert at all. No. Okay, no. I thought I might have been surprised by something tonight.
Vincent is actually short for Robert. So.
Yeah, not many people know that. You know what, Lesky? That's what I was going to say. Wow.
There you go.
What a show we're doing tonight. Rudy, continuing that research. We'll talk about the Royals game a little bit. Lesky, last night that game was drunk as hell. We were all confused and screaming, and I'm barely sure that I knew what happened. And then also there was a baseball game going on that apparently some people thought was wild. What did you think was the most important, like, positive actual takeaway from that game?
To me, the biggest thing was the Royals hit the snot out of the ball, like, all game long. First of all, you're welcome, Royals fans, because I wrote on Monday, or Tuesday maybe, the Royals aren't hitting the ball hard. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they stopped doing anything below, like, 93 miles per hour exit velocity. The last two games of the series were crazy, but, like, yesterday was the crescendo, because they had 8 barrels, which is... kind of hard to explain because it can vary, but it's basically an expected batting average of at least 500, an expected slugging percentage of at least 1500. The exit velocity has to be at least 98. There's parameters, but mm-hmm. look it up if you're really that curious. But it's hitting the ball well, basically. They had 8 barrels, which is the most they've ever had. Now, I say ever. They've tracked it for 4 years. So in the last 4 years, it's the most they've had. It was a 23.8% barrel rate. The league average is like 6.7%. And it's one game, obviously, but mm-hmm. they just smoked the ball. They had 12 balls 100 miles per hour or harder. I mean, it was insane. The fact that they only scored 9 was like a weird glitch in the Matrix type thing.
Yeah.
That seventh inning was stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they hit... It was, I put it in the article today, I think it was 1,184 feet of fly ball, and they didn't score a run.
Yeah.
It was back-to-back-to-back, 103-plus exit velocity, 390. It was like 395, 394, and 395 on the three hits, and they didn't score a run. Like, you could do that 100 times. They would score at least one run 99 of those times.
Yeah, it's
yesterday
crazy.
Was the 100th, and like, it's not just that it was weird how Soler and Salvi both went off the top of the wall. If it was 10 degrees warmer, I think at least two of those balls are out, and Santana's might have gotten out too. I mean, maybe you need 20 degrees for that, but it was just crazy how hard they were hitting the ball, and I think that's something, you know, you can talk about. That game was just insane on both sides. But hitting the ball hard is something they weren't doing, and now they are doing it. And now they're going to face the Tigers, who stink, and then the Pirates, who stink. They played each other this week. It was a very stinky series, I guess. And they have a chance. They have a chance in the next six games to really separate a little bit. There you go. But then they get the Twins, Indians and White Sox. I can't remember what order. I know it was the Twins first, but they have a chance to go into that set of games like three or four games up. I mean, that is absolutely huge if you want to talk about them having a chance to compete. These six games, they got to do well. They got to go 4-2 minimum. It's not to say they can't like win the division or go to the playoffs if they go 3-3. You got to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat, and these are the teams you're supposed to beat. But it's encouraging because the offense seems to have kind of gotten back to what we were so excited about in spring training and after those first couple games, and they look like they're ready to take off right now.
What about Robert O. Clemente?
I believe, yeah, Robert, his middle name is...
Oscar.
Robert Oscar Clemente. Yeah, no, I think that's the best one.
There is a Robert Lewandowski, striker for Bayern Munich. My favorite, though.
Hey, Rudy. We're talking about real sports, okay?
I mean, I would say it's probably.
God, someone's gonna get so mad at me for saying that.
My favorite.
Oh my God, Nate's on the balcony. Nate Buchanan's
actually
hitting the glass door with the pickaxe.
He would, because Robert Lewandowski is also Polish, and Nate's a big fan of the Polish national team.
Everybody knows I was making a joke, and I'm sorry.
Nate might kill you. My favorite, Robert Griffin III.
Wow. There's at least a football Robert
there.
We
did say, right, Bobby's don't count. Because I would say honorable mention, Bobby Bell, Kansas City legend.
Robert Witt Jr. Could have just gone straight to Robert Witt. Maybe he could change his name from Bobby to Robert. I think Bobby's the best sports name.
Robert.
Bobby's I might actually name. Start calling him Robert Witt.
I think... Robert Witt is somebody who I would trust with my money, but Bobby Witt Jr.
No doubt a financial advisor.
Yeah, and like a really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Bobby Witt Jr. I think is the best baseball player.
Robert Witt is the financial advisor that will not talk to you unless you've got $500,000 ready to put somewhere.
Yeah.
That's right. Robert Witt is the financial advisor that Bobby Witt Jr. has hired.
Yeah, his dad is his agent, so I mean, you're not.
I didn't know that. No, yeah. I guess I'm not. Huh.
Yeah.
One of those guys that was hitting the ball hard and that you've been talking about for a while now, like, oh, it's almost here. Oh, but it's coming. Here we go. And Soler time. Nope. All right. False. Here we go. And now it's Jorge Soler time. And you wrote about this again, as you mentioned the other stuff that is in this story that you can go read right now at insidethecrown.substack.com, home for all Gerard Dyson haters. You can read it there. Jorge Soler is looking like we're almost there. Are we there?
I think he's – look, I mean, you're right. I've been – it was last Wednesday I wrote, I think he's close. And then he hit a lot of balls hard. So I don't think he was quite – his swing wasn't quite to, I'm going to put a ball on the second tier of the fountains level.
Mm-hmm.
But it was – he was hitting a lot of balls hard. It was really fun to go through and find those gifts for the progression. And I actually thought it was really interesting because, I mean, really take it back to Monday night when he struck out. It was his seventh straight strikeout, seventh straight plate appearance with a strikeout. It was really ugly. But I saw something when I went – I was at that game, so I went back and kind of watched plate appearances. It wasn't as bad of a swing. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then the next plate appearance was the one where he went inside out to center field to drive in a couple runs. And it's just – it's really weird. Sometimes guys just need that. They need that bloop single. They need that ugly swing but more control to kind of get back into a groove. And the thing about Soler, his swing is, there's a lot to it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's when it's right, it is a good looking swing because the ball goes 440 feet almost every time, it seems like. But it kind of takes a little bit to get fully right. And I think he was a big time victim of the weather this week. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was Tuesday's first at bat. It was negative 14 degrees. The wind was blowing in at 112 miles per hour. And he hit a ball to left field. I was sure it was gone. I was like, yes, I'm posting the article tomorrow. And it was like 10 feet in front of the warning track. But I think he thought it was gone off the bat, too. It was that swing that I was like, all right, this is happening tomorrow. I know it's happening because that was finally his controlled violence swing that we saw so much in 2019. And then when he hit the ball out last night, I let out a sports yell. The dogs got scared. The neighbors came over to see what was going on. I told them, don't worry, Jorge Soler just hit a home run. I've been waiting for it for a week.
Right. And then they got significantly more concerned about you.
Yes. It was, I had a welfare check. It was a long time. I actually missed the third through sixth innings because I was talking to people, but it's okay. I think he's there. And like I said, the good news is Jorge Soler, I think he would buy Comerica Park and just have batting practice there if he could, because he rakes there. I mean, absolutely destroys the ball. Some of that's Tigers pitching. Some of that's the park. It's funny. I feel like a lot of hitters, these big parks that hitters don't like, a lot of hitters actually do like them. And I don't know why that is, but you see guys like Soler just actually destroy Comerica Park. And then you think back to when it opened and Juan Gonzalez wouldn't sign there because the fences were too deep. Now they brought him in. But I think there's a good hitter's backdrop. I think the pitching is bad in Detroit, so that's a good thing too. But for him to have finally clicked in that swing and now they're going to Detroit, I feel like it's serendipitous. So yeah. I'm looking forward to the next four games for him.
I think pretty much every time we've talked, at least over these last two, three weeks, we've done a little bit of a check-in on the guys who had some of the most sort of severe slumping. And this included these guys and also Benintendi, who we probably, I don't know, we'll see. But last night, I didn't mean for that to be quite so dismissive, but it was as dismissive as it needed to be. But last night, we saw homers from Santana, Soler, and Hunter Dozier, guys who have all had various really tough stretches this year. We've obviously talked about Soler a bunch now, but of those three guys, if you had to give me, like, most confident, most concerned, and then whoever would be left in the middle right now. How are you feeling about all three of those guys getting things going again, and Santana especially right now? Just hitting baseballs very hard, very frequently.
Yeah, Santana looked great. And the broadcast mentioned this a little bit, but it was mostly from the right side, which was okay because the Royals were facing a ton of lefties, and now they're done with that, it seems like. They're going to get a couple here and there. They've got Boyd over the weekend, and they've got a lefty in Pittsburgh coming up. But even so, I think J.A. Happ's scheduled to start the first game in Minnesota. But he's got the left-handed side now too. And it's really difficult for switch hitters. I think Ryan was talking about this on the broadcast last night. It's hard to maintain two swings. But Santana's swings are very similar, which I think makes it a little bit easier for him. But he's finally – They're both looking good, and when he locks in, we've seen it against the Royals for his entire career. He's going to hit the ball a long way and hit it hard and not swing at bad pitches. So I'm probably the most confident in him, in spite of what I've said about Soler, just because he's done it now for what, five straight games. He's hit the ball hard. Mm-hmm. Soler's getting there, but I want to see him. You know, I'll be more confident in him when he does it a couple more times.
Yeah.
And you know, Dozier, I feel like Dozier, it's on a lesser level than Soler, but you could kind of start to see him getting there too, hitting balls hard but on the ground, you know, instead of pulling them up the middle. He's gotten some 100-plus exit velos over the last few games and just hasn't had much to show for it, which is kind of Barry Hunter Dozier early in the year. Think back to 2019, he was hitting the ball really hard to start the season and was like 1 for 22 or something crazy like that. and people were ready to bench him. I was ready to bench him. And then I looked into the numbers. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Let's see what happens. Funny thing is, goes to Detroit and hits a couple home runs. The Royals love Detroit, apparently. And he kind of got back on track and then had a really good season in 2019. So he's obviously the one who's the farthest away, so I'm the least confident in him. But all three of those guys, I feel like, are either in a good place or almost in a good place, which is really helpful for the Royals lineup because Merrifield's fine. Salvador Perez, obviously, I mean, at least seventh inning or later, you can't get him out.
Right.
Man, dude, he's captain clutch right now. Mm-hmm. So if you can get, I mean, Santana, like I said, he's on track. He's good to go. Soler, I think, is there. You can get Dozier there. That's a 1-5 that's a really tough 1-5. You've got some issues. Benintendi, Taylor hasn't been hitting as well since that first week or so. Nicky Lopez, as good as he's been, he still doesn't hit the ball especially hard. I mean, he's fine at the bottom of the order, don't get me wrong. But and then, you know, whether it's Isbell or Alberto, whoever it is, I mean, there's some questions, but that top five, I think, can win you some games. It is, as long as the guys who were struggling continue on the path they were on.
Yeah. This is, I know this is really far out at this point still, but I think, I was honestly just trying to figure out who it was that was tweeting about this. I think it may have been Alec. But whenever Mondesi does end up being back, which again, right now, does not sound particularly imminent, but I was just sort of curious about the thought experiment of scooting guys around and you know, I think, honestly, this was actually spurred on because of Whit Merrifield's defensive issues these last mm-hmm. couple of games, which have been severe, I think is a fair, have been violent. But, like, you've got Nicky Lopez, who plays great defensively and has continued to be a productive offensive player. Witt has struggled at second. You've got Dozier has spent, I think now he might be at most of his time so far this year in right field. Maybe just most of his time recently. Alberto has played pretty well at third. He's not hitting incredibly, but, you know, all those moving parts you think are kind of interesting, and you're figuring out, are you moving around Kyle Isbell? Do you have a feel right now if they had to make a choice today, what the plan would be for Mondesi, or if you had to make a guess today, whenever he comes back?
Yeah, I think if it happened today, I think Nicky Lopez goes back to second base, stays at the bottom of the lineup, and I think Witt goes back to right field. I think he just goes back to the original plan when spring training started I shouldn't say just because of Witt. I was going to say it's because of his defensive issues.
Mm-hmm.
But Nicky Lopez, I mean, he's giving you a quality at bat in the number 9 spot.
Yeah.
Now, I know mm-hmm. that he did what he did last year and his spring was terrible, but, I mean, look, he looks different than he did even in the spring. He's made adjustments. I wrote about those a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting to more contact, and he's actually hitting the ball a little harder now too, which is interesting. But if you can put a guy out there, if he can hit 285, 290, he's going to probably have about a 60-point gap in his average on base. So he's a 345, 350 on base guy. At the bottom of the order, playing the defense he does, you can't really take that out of the lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really useful, especially when Whit Merrifield thinks he's Robert whatever from the soccer team, kicking the ball around. There's a timely, yeah, you like that? I forgot his name. I don't know.
No, I'm good. I made it better.
But, yeah, I mean, I think with Whit Merrifield playing poorly defensively and Nicky Lopez being so good defensively and hitting well enough,
yeah,
I don't think there's an option other than that, because the Royals' defense has kind of been bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they rate pretty. It's interesting. They rate pretty well in UZR zone rating on FanGraphs. Defensive WAR they rate pretty well on FanGraphs. Take out Michael A. Taylor on that, and they mm-hmm. don't rate well anymore because he rates as the best defender in baseball so far this season, which is the eye test kind of matches that. Mm-hmm. I see that on the field. Take him away. I think they've got a team defensive WAR of 2.3, and Michael A. Taylor is 2.7.
Jeez, wow.
So not
great then. No, you're right. Wow.
No, he's carrying the team stats. Now defensive stats after 17 games are like.
Sure.
Maybe some of the dumbest things you can look at, but I was still looking at them because I do dumb things.
Yeah, we're dumb. That's fine. We're all dumb.
Yeah, we're stupid.
Yeah, that's what we do.
But, yeah, they have not been good. I don't know what the exact answer is, but I think Mondesi at short and Lopez at second helps a lot of issues because those two can play. Those are really good defenders at those two spots. So, ideally, Lopez keeps saying. The problem, it's, what is it, minimum of 3 weeks? Does that include rehab? I don't know. I don't know if that includes his week and a half that he'll need to get his timing back. I don't think it does. So, you're really at a minimum four and a half weeks, and probably potentially more like 6.5 weeks. I mean, a lot can go wrong for Nicky Lopez in that time.
Sure.
and it's tough to say, but that's kind of what my gut is. And by then, there'll be a minor league season, so Kyle Isbell can be playing every day. You know, you're not making him sit on the bench. You know, right now, it's not a huge deal because he's going to go down to the alternate site and not play there either. It's practice game. So it's fine that he's on the big league roster. Good for him for making big league money. But, I think once that happens, as long as Nicky Lopez is still hitting reasonably well, I think that's the move.
We've mostly talked about good things to this point, I think. And so now I'm going to ask you how you're feeling about Brad Keller.
Not great. I mean, here's something that I kind of uncovered. I'm not really sure what it means yet, but we can talk through it together.
Okay. I'm here. I'm
He's
here
still
for
throwing
you.
His thank you. I appreciate
You're
that.
Welcome.
He's still throwing his slider less.
Yeah.
So it's like 22% versus 38% last year. It's a really big drop. I've mentioned, I don't know, 812 times that a lot of times that means the guy's hurting.
Mm-hmm.
They refuse to say anything about any potential pain, which tells me that they're either lying or he's not hurting. I don't know what the answer is, but one of those two, it doesn't matter. They're not going to do anything about it. One thing that I noticed, the spin rate, same as last year, but it's not moving as much. The vertical movement is way down. Horizontal movement is down, not quite as much, but still a decent amount. That tells me there's something mechanical going on, which I think he's had that issue in the past, but the problem that I don't know, and I would have no way of knowing because I call and call and call and Brad Keller doesn't answer because it's not his phone number that I'm calling. And is he having a mechanical issue because he's pitching, trying to get away from pain?
Yeah.
Or is he just having a mechanical issue? And so hopefully if it's just the good news is if it's just a mechanical issue, like that can be fixed and fixed relatively easily. So that's the hope. But, I mean, right now, he's going to pitch on Monday, and it's hard to put him out there because he's thrown, an inning and a third, 3 1/3 maybe against Chicago, is that right? Something like that. Either 2 1/3 or 3 1/3. And then he threw 5 2/3, and then an inning and 2/3. He's thrown 12 innings and 4 starts. I mean, this is the guy you were counting on to give you 6 innings every single time out. And he's doubled that in 4 starts. He's doubled 6 innings total in 4 starts. So at some point, you got to do something. You can't just keep doing it. And they kind of had the it's almost unfortunate that he had the good start because now it kind of reset the clock a little bit for people. But it's not great. And the Tigers, they're not a good offense, but they've got some guys who will take pitches. So if his control is off on Monday, he's going to throw a lot of pitches. Robbie Grossman, I don't know what else he can do other than take a walk, but he can take a walk. Jamer Candelario, same. He had a breakout year last year. He's really not hitting for power this year, but he can take a walk too. Now they've got some guys who will swing and miss, so he might be able to squeak by. But it's not great, and I don't know what the answer is because they don't seem to want to look for a problem really.
That's sort of confusing to me, and it is a total of 12 innings on the nose. Not that you actually were ever truly in doubt on that, but I figured I would just quadruple check it.
I just wrote a series preview with him, so I knew his numbers.
I mean, you knew what you I literally don't even remember what wacky number you pulled out of nowhere 4 minutes ago. So I don't even notice them anymore. It's just like, oh yeah, well, actually Scott Barlow when in high school, they're like, okay, Lesky, we get it. Like you love baseball and you're smarter than we are. Okay, fine. The strange thing to me is exactly that. It's like it doesn't really seem like they're looking for anything. And I mean, look, they did delay his second start, I think it was, by a day. Like,
yeah,
maybe there was a little something internally there. If they're trying to tweak his mechanics and everything, they're not really, or maybe there's a little bit of like muscle pain, but not in a way that they're getting really nervous about anything big. I guess they wouldn't really have any incentive to tell us about it, except for if Mike Matheny said, yeah, you know, Brad's had a little bit of, I don't want to say elbow tightness, because elbow tightness is always code for his arm is about to fall off.
But, right.
But he's been working with a little tricep soreness and, you know, wanted to pitch through it. We've been trying to work through it with him, and he's just dealing with that right now. I feel like we would all go like, oh, okay, cool. Well, that's better than not knowing what's going on, which is probably the worst case scenario. And look, if that turns around with two or three straight good starts, then wonderful. But you I think you're also right about how the third start out that looked much better was in some ways maybe a little bit of a curse, because if he just had four dumpster starts in a row, it is very much like, yo, we have to recalibrate this dude on some level. And right now it's, I don't know, 3 out of 4, maybe we'll give it another go. And I'm just kind of worried about it, honestly.
Well, yeah, and so let's see, if he pitches on Monday, his next start's going to be against the Twins, and they haven't been great, but I mean, we know what they can do offensively. And then his next start after that would be, I think, against the White Sox, which we know what they can do offensively. So if this one doesn't go well and they don't do anything, I mean, it could be a little while before he gets back on track. I don't know. The good news, we talked about this, they have a lot of arms.
Yep.
And so if they say, hey, we're going to take 2 weeks and rebuild this a little bit, oh, come on down, Chris Bubich, who was actually good as a rookie. I mean, they've been working with him. He's got some issues too, but – you know, maybe you put him back in the rotation for a couple weeks, or maybe you go with Daniel Lynch and give him a shot. I mean, JJ Piccolo can't stop raving about him every time I hear him anywhere. Mm-hmm. So that's a name you could think about. And the point is, they've got options.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, I guess they're still 10-7. They're still in first place, and they've got their opening day starters thrown 12 innings and 4 starts. So you got to feel good about that. And he's thrown roughly a quarter of their games, and been mostly horrible, and they're still 10-7.
Yeah.
So could be worse, but you want to get them right, because they're going to need Brad Keller to be good if they want to keep this up throughout the season.
Lesky, we'll let you go. Tell everybody what's in the cards right now, and what they can be getting in general, whatever the next story is and what they can expect, generally speaking, if they have not yet checked out Inside the Crown.
I have my very first mailbag tomorrow.
Mailbag?
Mailbag, because I chose to let other people tell me what to write about.
Yep, it's so really helpful. It's a great don't park that curtain too far, Lesky. Mailbags are for you, the listener, and not for us, the lazy.
It's because I want to write what you want me to write about once.
So
yeah, here to make you happy. Tomorrow.
That's right.
But yeah, I mean, the nice thing is I don't. What I'm really enjoying about writing Inside the Crown is I don't know what I'm going to write about. It's not – I mean, I did have the Soler article ready to go for like 3 years.
And probably Royals baseball, if I had to guess.
Ideally, yes. But I'm going to look into this Robert fellow for the footy team and see if I want to talk about him a little bit more.
A little Arkansas action.
Yeah, some Robert Moore. I might just do a whole week on Robert Moore.
Hey, Ben Attendee went to Arkansas. You would just make it an Arkansas baseball thing. Ties right in.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I'm sure there's people who read it who are in Arkansas as well.
Yeah.
So I can say, hey, I'm writing to you, Arkansas Ian. Is that Arkansasian? Yeah. I don't know how they say that.
Arkansan.
Can I suggest a topic I want a breakdown of? I don't know if you've seen the bat, and not really a bat flip, but the bat toss that this Bobby Moore did. It's pretty clean.
I have not. Tonight, you mean?
Yeah. He had
I've not seen tonight yet, but I saw it was either last week or 2 weeks ago. He had a really good one.
This one was, you know, it's not Jose Bautista chucking it. It's a pretty simple flip, but just the way he stands, you're like, whoa.
Okay, I know you're trying to kick me out, but I have to say this.
No, I'm not trying to kick you out. You can stay here all night.
Lesky,
you can stay here till 10.
The longer, that's exactly right.
At 10, you got to go.
At 10, you got to go. You can't stay here. I don't care where you get. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Until 10, if you listen through a commercial break in a minute, that's fine with me. I'll keep talking.
Well, I was just going to say, I think the most surprising player I've ever seen to have swag is Dayton Moore's son.
Yes. Yes.
If you had told me that Dayton Moore's son was going to do a backflip, I would say that you're an idiot and I would slap you in the face. But I would feel bad.
It's really
not
violent.
Being an idiot, and I would have slapped you in the face for no reason.
Yeah.
Yes. It's also just a very violent.
I mean, first you're telling me Gerard Dyson's slow, and now you're telling me Robert Moore doesn't have swag. And I don't know what I did.
Is it Arkansonian?
I don't know, Beard, you live there.
That's why me. I think it's Arkansonian.
Arkansonians, watch out. Robert Moore's coming.
I don't think it's Arkansonian, Beards. There's not an O in there.
Lesky, do you want to know where Beards went to college at? I'd still love to know.
This was just for us, Lesky. It's all right. You know, don't worry about it.
I want to help you.
I know where Beards went to college. Rudy doesn't know where Beards went to college. Beards didn't tell either of us whenever he was going to New York to get engaged.
Yeah,
he brought COVID back and was patient
zero.
That's
not true.
I mean, you can't prove that it's not true.
I mean, I can.
No, you can't.
You never proved that you didn't. And listen, here's the thing, Beards. You didn't tell us about this huge step that your life was going to be taking. Why would we think you would tell us about you bringing a plague from New York to Kansas City? You're a secretive,
you see what they do to me, Lesky.
You're a secretive man.
Hey, I'm staying out of this, all right?
I don't think it's unfair to ask, you know, someone that you thought was your friend to just sort of share details of their life with you. But look, I mean, Beards put me in my place, and now he's responsible for COVID spreading to the Midwest. So
that's not true.
You don't know.
In fairness, Beards, at the very least, there's no way to disprove that. You cannot prove that negative there. God. Lesky, if you want to do the show, I can leave. I can leave. I'm doing this show with a couple of freaking snakes right now, and I'm tired of getting bit.
Why would you want to put me in that situation?
Just because it seems like you could handle it, honestly. That's really it.
I mean, I'm not there, so I probably could. I'd hang up.
and then I wouldn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Me and Beards would be fish out of water.
You would just
dead air for 20 minutes.
I mean,
that's a great time to play commercials, if you ask me.
You know what? This seems like a great time to play commercials. Let's do that now. Thank you, Lesky.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Follow him on Twitter at DBLesky. It's the least you could do for all the bleep he puts up with on a weekly basis. He also, by the way, Lesky is now scheduling our times before I am. Like, the last 2 weeks, I've been like, hey, I just either forgot to look at the schedule or just looked at the schedule, because obviously we're not going to, little radio secret, we're not going to talk about the Royals whenever they're happening, because we're opposite it. So we try to, you know, find the little pockets and whatnot.
Yeah.
Last week, I texted Lesky, and I was like, oh, hey, man, I bleeped up. I wasn't even paying attention. Can you do this night? It's the only night that we're, you know, free to talk Royals this week. He said, I already had it in my calendar. I said, wow, that's incredible. You're, you know, so attentive. And then this week, I texted him like Saturday or Sunday. We got the schedule. I was looking. I was like, hey, Lesky.
Ready to go.
You good to do 9 o'clock on Thursday? And he said, already had it in my calendar. And he also knows, you know, Scott Barlow's high school stats. This dude's an encyclopedia.
We should have asked him when we're going to hear from him next. And he knows already.
He probably already.
I bet he knows.
You know what? Next week might be tough. Next week's all NFL draft, man. We might not hear
maybe
from Lesky next
maybe
week.
Maybe next Thursday night.
I think we have something else on at the radio station at that point.
Yeah, we'll cut in.
You want to go talk to him over on ESPN Kansas City? You do a little counter programming?
We'll just cut in.
I'm not going to, but you can. You feel free. Follow him on Twitter at DBLesky. You can subscribe to the Inside the Crown newsletter. It's a Substack, just like Seth Kaiser's Chief in the North, which we've been talking about for like a year now. And it's free. Seth hates money. Lesky doesn't even want to look at it. He doesn't even want to give you the option to give him money for the Inside the Crown newsletter at this point. You can go check it out. Go subscribe 100% for free right now at insidethecrown.substack.com.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We got us. That's all we need.
We need so much more.
Help.
Help. On Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Last Almost Entirely Sports of the week. We got the Sporting Kansas City home opener against
Orlando City
tomorrow night. And next week, We'll have a bit of a truncated schedule as well. We'll have AES Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Or really, Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, we're going to have an NFL draft special show, which is going to be just like AES, but it's all draft, baby.
Oh, without me.
Without, are you not going to be here?
No, I'll probably be here.
Okay. I mean, you can do what you've got to do. But we're gonna dig in even harder on the draft on Wednesday, and then Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you can hear live coverage of the NFL draft right here on your home for the NFL draft, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Seren Petro and the gang, I believe, will have it all covered Thursday night. And then Friday and Saturday, I'll be right here in this old chair. We'll have, you know, the national, like, sort of play-by-play of the coverage whenever the Chiefs do something, or maybe even whenever an AFC West rival does something particularly interesting. If maybe a highly thought-of potential Chiefs prospect goes off the board, we will step in. I'll talk about it a little bit. We'll go back to ESPN for the picks. It'll be a good time. I'm looking forward to it. I actually really enjoy our draft coverage, and we'll also have, of course, all of the press conferences, the introductory press conferences, and all that stuff as it happens here on 810 next week. But tomorrow night, SKC home opener against Orlando. That'll be on here starting coverage starting at 6. 6:30 is the pregame show with Nate Bucati. And then the game itself, I believe, starts 6:30. Rudy and I are going
to
be
out
there.
Yes. 6:30 is a pregame show. 6:30 is a game.
I know that I have to be out there at like 3:30, and so all of the numbers after that sort of washed away.
Yeah.
Which I think is also what's happening already.
We will be out there from roughly 4 to 6:30 to 7-ish.
Yeah, me and Rudy.
Depending on when we're actually able to like get out of the place. So look for the 8-10 tent.
Yeah.
Come say hi. Taze Josh. Do what you got to do. I don't think they'll let you in with a taser, but hey, if you get through, you can tase Josh.
Just tell him something shocking.
So, no.
To which one?
I thought about it. No, the answer is no to that one.
To which one?
All yes.
You didn't answer my question though. Which
mm-hmm.
one?
Mm-hmm. All of them.
All of what?
Don't come tase or shock me. Ever, ever. Ever. If Seth showed up with a taser, I'd be like, you know what? Bleep it. Let's do it. Maybe we can get Hartzell to do play-by-play. But please don't sneak up on me and tase me. That's assault. Please don't. Please.
Just announce from across the walkway.
I mean, you at least got to give me a fair shake.
I'm coming to tase you now, Joshua.
Here's the thing. Is if you say that, that is a declaration of war.
It's true.
And you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to turn and run away because you're going to eventually catch up to me and maybe get me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to charge like a bull.
Hey, we'll have a soccer ball that's signed that you can try to win. So you can just chuck it at them. Or maybe you like toss a high up in the air. It's that trick. So you toss a high up in the air, they look up, and then you take them out.
And then all of a sudden, I was going to say, like Anthony Hitchens, but really, I'm like, Breland Speaks. I'm gonna get there eventually. And if I do get there, I'm going to hit you.
You're a little out of position.
Yeah, a little out of position and a little out of breath.
Yeah.
But I'll be there. Here's something we haven't done in a little while, a little truncated version of a bit that you may not be familiar with, because there are three headlines that I very much want to talk about.
Headlines! I've got headlines over here! Do you want a headline? I've got plenty of them! Got breaking news here! Hey, you! You! You want some breaking news? What about you, old lady?
Headline from the New York Post. Man fills bowling ball with father's ashes, then bowls perfect game.
I saw this.
Why, yes, I would like to hear about this.
I thought you might. Thanks for asking, Beards. Big ups to this bowler in the sky. Following the death of his father, John Hinkle Sr., son John Jr., a two-time NCAA bowling champion, laced up to play one of the luckiest games of his life on April 12th. Using a ball that had been custom-made with the ashes of his late dad, the 39-year-old Western Illinois University bowler set out to bowl the perfect game as tribute, bringing his brother Joe with him to their hometown alley, Landmark Lanes, in Peoria, Illinois. After the elder Hinkle died in 2016, long enough ago for us to make jokes about this.
Yep.
I was getting nervous about it. We're safe. John decided to honor his father by having the thumb hole of his ball filled with his dad's ashes. His two-hand technique allows for only two fingers in the ball. I was talking to my brother and I told him I'm shooting a 300 with this ball. Hinkle, a Peoria Public Schools counselor, told WMBD-TV, and Joe said, do it. John had called it. I had tears in my eyes in the 11th and 12th frames. He said, I couldn't tell you where that last ball went. I had so many tears just throwing it. In a Facebook post immediately following his 12-strike streak, John called it, quote, an epic night. He's bowled several 300s, apparently.
Oof. Also, this wasn't that special.
Got a ringer out here.
Dad shot 298, 299, never a 300. I had goosebumps, chills.
Well, now he's shot a 300.
I think this is technically his game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's at least half of his. You know what? No, he gets at least 51%. He deserves at least majority credit for this.
He was physically hitting the pins.
Yeah.
All right, I'm uncomfortable around this story now. Next!
News!
Spider-Man is headed to Disney Plus.
Yep.
This is not a traditional one. I don't have an article about it. I just had it on the list and I wanted to talk about it. Rudy, what do you know?
So basically, Sony and Disney agreed to a deal Disney's obviously looking for more content for Disney Plus. They reached out a deal that will allow them to have access to some of Sony's movies, not just Spider-Man. Some Sony movies will also be going to Hulu, but the main thing is that they will now have access to, I believe, all of the Spider-Man movies. Like, we're talking...
I think I saw Venom involved as
we're
well.
We're talking Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Like, we're talking Andrew Garfield Spider-Man.
Let's
we're
go.
Talking, like, the whole Spider-Verse. So, like, all those... So, like, Venom, the future Morbius? One of the two. All those ones.
Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies are, like, iconic.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Garfield ones are mad underrated, and I want them all in one place.
Yes.
Good work, corporate overlords. You guys figured it out.
Thank you, Disney.
Now if you could just
buy it.
Talk to Bally Sports. See if you get them to figure their bleep out.
Also, can you get like PlayStation and Xbox to make more things?
And there's chip shortage, Beards. It sucks, I know. Here's the thing. I understand monopolies are bad in business. But the U.S. government really bleeped this up when they said Disney can't own everything. Just let Disney own everything. Just let them.
News!
Passenger survives being hit in the head by a flying turtle.
Meh, bored. Turtles. Lame.
Cowabunga?
A 71-year-old woman riding with her daughter on Florida's Interstate 95 suffered a gashed forehead Wednesday when a turtle smashed through the windshield of their car, striking her.
Cowabunga!
The daughter pulled over and got help from another motorist. According to a 911 recording,
was there
both
pizza in there?
I was going to say, were they delivering pizza?
Both were surprised by what they found. No bleep, AP. Quote, there is a turtle in there, the man can be overheard saying. A turtle, the daughter exclaimed. An actual turtle? The gas drew a lot of blood.
What
the
color
woman,
headband did it wear?
The woman was not seriously
orange.
Hurt. The turtle was likely
that
crossing. The turtle was likely crossing the interstate and got knocked into the air by another vehicle. Quote, I swear to God, this lady has the worst luck of anything, the daughter told 911 operator as she tended to her injured mother.
Yeah.
Was there a rat chasing after it as well?
Speaking of animals and weird places.
Can I gotta
finish
this story.
Finish.
How quick is this, Rudy?
At the Giants game, somebody brought a pet bunny and is petting it in the stands.
I love that. The turtle, who was hit by a car, flew through the windshield of another car and hit a woman in the forehead. It had just a few scratches on its shell and was released back into the nearby woods.
That's a trooper.
The turtle is okay, everybody. Next AES will be on Monday. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Bye, Mom!
News!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on Sports Radio 810 WHB.